This is a Discovery Church podcast. Every heart found in Jesus' story. Wherever you are in your journey of faith, we pray that this message brings you deep encouragement. If you would like to get involved in the life of our church, head over to discoverychurch.com.au or check out our social media or YouTube channel.
Good morning, Discovery. So good to see each and every one of you. Welcome. It's such an honor to be with you. And as Pastor Jordy said, I just love the Destries. I love what God's building and doing amongst you guys. And one thing that I'm so thankful for is that there's authenticity and also as well heart. It's not just a happening, but it's a heart of what God's doing in this place. And so I'm so excited to be with you in this first service. I trust this isn't the run-up service to the 11. I feel like God wants to do something amazing and unique in this service, and the overflow will be the 11. Is that okay? But I'd love us, if we can, to put our hands on our hearts this morning, and we're going to pray before we open His Word. Why don't you pray with me this prayer? Say, Father, speak to my heart and change my life. Father, we just welcome You here this morning. Lord, we just thank You for Your incredible kindness. Lord, Your intentionality, Your incredible spirit that is without measure. And so, Lord, I pray if anyone's come in today, Lord, needing healing, Father God, bring healing. Lord, if we need breakthrough, Lord, we welcome breakthrough. But Lord, open the Word to us. And Lord God, let the Word open us this morning in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, as you can tell from my accent, I'm from Tasmania. And Pastor Matt already gave it away. I'm from Wales. And so I'm from the old South Wales, not the new South Wales. And so state of origin doesn't exist for me living in Queensland. So I just make sure people know that. But how many Lions fans have we got here this morning? None. So we're going to turn into a cat service where we're going to pray. Amen. Does anyone need deliverance this morning? But my gosh, it was amazing. A couple of years ago when we were pastoring here in Melbourne, I remember coming, I think we were only here a couple of months, and it came to grand final weekend, and I came into the church, and I felt this almost joyous depression. And I just didn't understand. And so during worship, I'm standing at the front, and I turn around, and half the church are Pentecostals, and half the church are dead. And I'm like, what is going on? Why are all these guys really like not wanting to engage, and all these guys feel like Jesus is about to come back? And I turned to my executive pastor. I said, Steve, what's going on? He said, oh, Gary, it's grand final. The Cats won and Hawthorn lost. And I'm like, wow. It was literally split down the middle. Even people switched sides where they were sitting that Sunday. But by the Sunday after, everything was back and we're all Christians again. But isn't it amazing? It's like Melbourne stops for this sort of thing. And again, we become so aware of the impact. But I want to encourage us today. I believe we're entering into a time right now where not the things of the world are going to stop Melbourne, but the things of the Spirit. That there is an undercurrent of the goodness of God that is happening, not just in our lives, but in the lives of so many, that there's an overflow that God is wanting to do in our lives. And I think it's an invitation for us this morning to be people who are aware of not just what God has done, but what He's wanting to do. We can be people of history, but I want us to be people who are present, that wherever we go, wherever we find ourselves, that we are a living, breathing example of the goodness of God. I want to encourage us this morning, friends, we are the 67th book of the Bible. Because one thing I've learned is that the world doesn't read their Bible, but it reads their Christians. And my question this morning is what are they reading? When they read us, what are they reading? Are they reading hope? Are they reading a place of trust? Are they reading a place of breakthrough? Or are they finding themselves like cat supporters in other ways? But I want to encourage us this morning that within us is a hope, amen? And the Bible invites us to always be ready to give an account or to give an explanation for the hope that is in us. The Bible says that the Christ in us is the hope of glory. I love that word hope, because the word hope is a divine, is a joyous expectation of good. And so I wonder this morning, the people we meet on a daily basis, maybe we work with, maybe we interact with, are they encountering a joyous expectation of good when they meet us? Because we can't give what we haven't got. And so I want to encourage us this morning that there is a hope that is in us that I think God wants us to be aware of. That each and every one of you is a representation of an aspect of God that no one else has. And that's why I love the body of Christ, because each and every one of us is a unique expression of his heart that no one else has. And that's why I love the prophetic. I love the voice of God. I love hearing his heart, and I love hearing his heart through others, because when I hear his heart through others, I hear an aspect of his heart that I've never heard before. Because each and every one of us doesn't just reflect, doesn't just respond, but we're connected to an aspect of his heart that no one else does. You are so unique this morning. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're so unique. You're not weird, you're wonderful, amen? We're not weird. We can all be weird, but we're wonderful. And so why do I love engaging with the things of God? Because again, his body, his church is a divine representation of his heart upon the earth. And that's why we don't need competition. You see, we don't compete, we complete. Because you, me, and everyone else has a part to play in this incredible narrative called the gospel. And I believe if we don't play our part, someone else can't play theirs. It's kind of like being at the traffic lights. You know, we're at the traffic lights and the light turns from red to green. And if I don't move, no one else is. I wonder in our lives, what aspect of our lives we're not moving in that isn't just hindering us, but are hindering others. Are we fully moving in what God has given us this morning? Yeah? And so I want to encourage us that life is not a life that can be on autopilot. Life is not a life that can just go through the motions. I believe we have to be intentional. I believe we have to be aware. I believe God is inviting us to be people that are continually and constantly acknowledging his presence in our lives and what he's wanting to do. And so the title of my message this morning is Spirit-Led, Not Spirit-Dead. And I think there's an invitation to the body. I think there's an invitation to the church right now to be people who are not just aware of who God is, but aware of what he can do. You see, when you're in the room, options change. When you turn up to work, options change. Why? Because you carry something that no one else is carrying. When Jesus came into the city, the options of that city changed. Food couldn't just remain lunch. It became an aspect of feeding 5,000. When Jesus walked to the tomb of Lazarus, he couldn't remain dead. I want to encourage us that when we walk into the different spheres of our life, that options change because we've shown up. Friends, I want to encourage you that we're not just Christians by name. God says we're Christians by nature. And what we carry is a hope that changes the dynamics and changes the very options of the rooms we walk in. And so to be Spirit-led, not to be Spirit-dead, is to live with an awareness that God has brought us to a place of understanding. A.W. Tozer said it like this: a Spirit-filled life is not a special deluxe edition of Christianity. It is part and parcel of the total plan of God for his people. When we begin to understand the fullness of a Christian life, friends, everything changes. I don't think the Holy Spirit is there just so that we can look awesome. I don't think the Holy Spirit is just there so we can feel good. I want to encourage us this morning, the Holy Spirit is there for your parenting. The Holy Spirit is there for your business. The Holy Spirit is there for your marriage. The Holy Spirit is there for your ministry. The Holy Spirit is there for life itself. And so when Jesus promised us the Holy Spirit, he said, hey, I'm going to give you a comforter. Now, to an Australian, that doesn't mean God give us a doona, amen? He didn't give us comfort. He gave us a comforter. And one of the things I'm learning in my life on a daily basis is that faith doesn't require comfort. Faith requires courage. And my faith doesn't grow in moments of comfort, it grows in moments of courage. And so when Jesus promised a comfort, he didn't say, hey, there's a doona, I just want you to wrap yourself up and feel good about yourself. He's giving us one that equips us for life. And so friends, when the moments of intense fellowship with your significant other happen, you need the gifts of the Holy Spirit, amen? You need the fruits of the Holy Spirit. When that person cuts you off on your way to work, you need to speak in heavenly tongues, not earthly tongues. Am I speaking to somebody? And so we realize the Holy Spirit hasn't been given to us for comfort, but has been given to us for courage. I wonder what moments or aspects of our life have we defaulted to comfort instead of courage? Because when we default to comfort, we just put up with it. When we default to courage, God stands up in our world. Am I speaking to someone this morning? You see, when you begin to understand that the Holy Spirit is not there for comfort, he's there for courage, everything changes. You see, one of the things I'm recognizing in my world is I have a passion for so many things when it comes to things of God. I have a passion for his word. I have a passion for his presence. But one of the things I'm noticing, friends, is when that passion gets replaced by pressure, I feel like I lose my purpose. And when that pressure comes, all of a sudden I begin to forget what God has called me to and what he's put in my life. I wonder this morning in your world, what has replaced things in your world by pressure that you've lost your purpose and you've lost your passion? How many of us remember when we first got saved? It didn't matter what happened to us because we just found Jesus. I love what the psalmist says, restore to us the joy of our salvation. That word joy there literally doesn't just mean to laugh. It means an encapsulating overflow of emotion of your heart, that nothing matters. There's something powerful about joy when it comes into your world. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Women, you'd understand this. Why do you think they call it laughing gas when you're about to give birth? Because there's something about that gas that triggers something of the area of your brain where joy comes to the forefront. And I want to encourage us this morning, has our pressure in life caused us to lose our passion? Has the pressure in life caused us to lose them things God wants us to find in our world? You see, when you allow pressure to come, all of a sudden purpose goes. It's kind of like this place. I find pressure is a have-to place. Purpose is a get-to place. What in our world have we made a have-to that used to be a get-to? Just think about it. What are them areas that used to be a I get-to, but now we've allowed it to be a have-to? Friends, I don't have to pray. I get to pray. I don't have to share the gospel. I get to share the gospel. You think about them areas. You see, pressure makes it a have to. Joy makes it a get to. How many of us in a place of being spirit led, not spirit dead, have allowed pressure to take away that place of get to and replaced it with a have to? You see, I don't have to empty the dishwasher. I don't have to fill the dishwasher. I get to. Happy wife, happy life. Amen? And when I fill that dishwasher, I fill the dishwasher. But my wife thinks she's a Scandinavian architect and comes along, and all of a sudden the plate can't be that angle. It needs to be this angle. I swear, my wife comes with like a measuring. She's got it's almost like she's got this laser thing that comes down. It's in her eyes. It's nowhere else. It's in her eyes. And she can see that plate. She says it's in the wrong place. How can it be in the wrong place? It's in the wrong place. I said, okay, well, you stack it. Come on, how many of us are nudging our spouse right now? Shame off you. Shame off you. But again, if I choose a place of saying I get to stack the dishwasher, I don't have to. All of a sudden, pressure leaves and joy comes. I want to ask us this morning, what area of our life have we replaced the get to with a have to? I get to give. I don't have to give. I get to come to church. I don't have to come to church because I've replaced that place of pressure with a place of joy. Jesus said, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And so friends, how do we get that joy back? How do we get back to a place of joy? Well, I love what Paul says in his letters to the Corinthians. It's amazing. Paul brings this incredible administration with three chapters of the letters to the Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians 12, and for those that maybe this morning are new to faith, I want to encourage you. These three chapters are so beautifully brought by Paul in the administration of the Holy Spirit. You see, that what was poured out in Acts become an administration to the Corinthian church. That Paul so beautifully just wrote out this administration, this context, this body of writing that give understanding to the Corinthian church of what was happening for them in that moment. How many people know we need context for the content? Yeah? Because if you haven't got context for the content, you're going to be conned by the text. Who wants to be conned this morning? No one. And so Paul brings this beautiful. So if I was to give you a framework of Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, I'd say it like this. 1 Corinthians 12 is the empowerment. 1 Corinthians 13 is the environment, which is love. And 1 Corinthians 14 is the expression. And so we realize that Paul beautifully brings this context to the outpouring and who the Holy Spirit is. That it's not a hit. It's a hymn, amen? One thing I love about the Bible, one thing I love about God, that he's not confused with his pronouns, amen? We recognize that the Holy Spirit is not an it, amen? It grieves me when people say, do you feel it? I'm like, I'm not feeling it, I'm feeling him. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The presence of God is not an it. It's a him, amen? And I just love being able to just say, hey, can you feel who he is? It's not something, it's someone. It's the Holy Spirit. And so Paul so beautifully brings this context. Now let's make this meeting legal and turn to some scripture, amen? Otherwise you'll accuse me of being a TED talk. And so 1 Corinthians 12 verse 1. Paul so beautifully brings this incredible expression to the Corinthian church. He says this, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. Or concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be uninformed. Other ones is, I don't want you to be confused. And so I love in the New King James here, the word gifts is in italics. And what does that tell us? It means that the word gifts is an added word for context. But what Paul was writing to the Corinthians, he's saying, hey guys, now concerning the spiritual, I don't want you to be ignorant. What does that mean? That there is a realm, there is a reality, there is an environment that is beyond us, friends, that sometimes we are so unaware of that it's actually our undoing, not our doing up. And Paul was trying to appeal to the Corinthian church to say, hey guys, I want to encourage you right now. Don't be ignorant of an awareness that you were born for, nor born without. Friends, I want to encourage you, like John Wimber would say, we are not earthly beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having an earthly experience. The Bible says about being in the Spirit. I want to suggest to us this morning that being in the Spirit is not a case of locality. It's a case of reality. Can I say that again? Being in the Spirit is not a case of locality. It's a case of reality. It's not about where you are. It's who you're aware of. And so many times we regulate being in the Spirit about being a place instead of a person. You see, I'm not in a place, I'm in a person, and his name is Jesus. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Where are we this morning, friends? Are we in a place or are we in a person? Because if I'm seated with Christ, if I'm seated in Christ in heavenly places, friends, then everything of my life is an awareness of who he is, not what I'm not. And so Paul appeals to the Corinthians and says, hey guys, I don't want you to be ignorant. Now, what's the opposite of ignorance? It's the word awareness. And there's two scriptures that convict me, that arrest me every time I read them when it comes to awareness. And one of them is found in Genesis 28, 16. It says that Jacob woke up from this encounter of seeing the ladder, and he said this statement, "Surely God is in this place, and I didn't know it." Friends, I never want to be one who says, "Surely God is in this place, and I didn't know it." I want to be a person of awareness. The second verse is found in Judges 16, 20. It says that Samson got up and said, "I will do what I've always done," and he didn't realize that the spirit had departed. Friends, are we people who are living in autopilot, or are we aware of who we are and who he is? Because when we're aware of who we are and who he is, everything changes. I never want to be like Jacob or like Samson that live unaware of his presence. I think one of the greatest gifts that we can give back to God in our life is the gift of awareness and the gift of availability. Because when we're aware and when we're available, dynamic things can take place. The danger comes is when we're aware but unavailable. It kind of reminds me of the story of the Good Samaritan. Everyone was aware, but they weren't available, except one man. The other danger is for us to be available, available but unaware. You see, we can say, "God, use me, God, use me." You see, one of the things I notice about Christians all times is we live with our eyes wide shut. "God, use me, God, use me." Open your eyes and see who's in front of you. How many of us try to see a vision without realizing God's given us a vision? Whoever's in front of you is an opportunity for the goodness of God. You see, I think awareness with availability is powerful. But friends, we can be available, but not dependable. And one of the things I'm learning in my life is availability without dependability becomes a liability. Yeah? And so a spirit-led life is one of trust, surrender, and obedience. And you know, when it comes to a spirit-filled life, when it comes to being spirit-led, not spirit-dead, friends, I want to encourage us this morning that we talk a lot to the lost about being saved, but do we talk to the saved about being surrendered? I love in services on a Sunday in the church I'm a part of, we always do an altar call asking, "Hey, who wants to give their life to Christ?" But friends, are we going one step further and asking, "Hey, who wants to fully surrender to God?" Because it's in the place of surrender that our awareness and availability go to the next level. You see, what we're most aware of, what we're most available to, is what we feed. But if we're available in the way of the Holy Spirit, everything changes. You see, surrender is not to something, surrender is to someone. And that surrender, friends, is not to a mission, it's not to a mandate, it's not to a methodology, it's to the Holy Spirit. It's to the who and not the what. You see, I love the Holy Spirit. And if you're a charismatic or a charismaniac this morning, or you find yourself in that Pentecostal place, we love the Holy Spirit in a place. We love that expression of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of my friends love the Holy Spirit as the fire. Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came like a fire. And we have this visual and we have this encounter and experience of the Holy Spirit like fire. But I want to encourage us this morning that the Holy Spirit didn't just come as fire, but he also came as something else. Can anyone tell me this morning how the Holy Spirit manifested as in Scripture? He came like a dove. The Holy Spirit didn't just come as fire, but he came as a dove. And one of the things I'm learning in my life, friends, is times we can expect the fire, but we miss the dove. But there's also times in our life that we expect the dove, but we miss the fire. You see, the Holy Spirit, like a dove, is so incredible. I want to encourage us this morning. I don't want to get National Geographic on this, but maybe I will. But the Holy Spirit as a dove, I love the picture of a dove, because the dove has two wings. Profound. Wow, that is profound. And you see, what I love about the dove in the natural, the dove has nine major bones in one wing and nine major bones in another. The Bible tells us in Corinthians and Galatians that there are nine gifts and there are nine fruits. And you see, there's an invitation to be Spirit-led this morning, is that we won't just be people of gifting, but we'll be people of fruits as well. That if we are going to see the Holy Spirit take flight in our life and not become a flapping pigeon, but actually a dove that beautifully rests upon our lives and takes flight, then friends, we have to be people of gifting and fruit. I want to encourage you, friends, the fruit of the Spirit is not there to tolerate other Christians. God didn't give me the fruit of the Spirit to put up with my mother-in-law. Amen? God, give me the fruit of the Spirit for me, so that out of that overflow, I can give to others. Some of us this morning, friends, need to find patience for ourselves before we find patience for others. Some of us need to find kindness for ourselves before we find kindness for others. The fruit and the gifts. I don't want to be a Christmas tree. Yeah? I don't just want to be people of gifting. I want to be a person of fruit as well. That together they come. Some liken it to being a person of word and spirit. Friends, I believe as believers, we have to be people of word and spirit. My pastor used to say this to me. He said, Gary, if you're all word and no spirit, you'll dry up. If you're all spirit and no word, you'll blow up. But if you're word and spirit, you'll grow up. Yeah? How many people want to grow up this morning? Because when we begin to understand the fullness of the life of the Holy Spirit, everything changes. Gifts of the Spirit empower us for ministry, but it's the fruit of the Spirit that shapes us for eternity. And so this morning, I want to encourage us in a place of surrender. There's an invitation this morning from the letters of Paul not to be people who are ignorant, but we're aware. That we're not a people that have to, but we're a people that get to. I'd love the team to come and join me on the platform this morning. I feel like the Lord wants to open this morning an invitation in this place. That maybe there's areas of your life that you've lost your passion. Maybe there's areas of your life where you've lost your purpose, because it's been replaced by pressure. Maybe you're finding yourself in a place because of what's happening politically, what's happening geographically, what's happening even just regionally. You're finding a pressure that has actually replaced your purpose. Friends, one thing I know, that when we become Spirit-led, when we become aware of Him, when we become available to Him, everything changes. That we lose the pressure and we get our purpose back. Friends, maybe this morning, unrealized pressure has come into your marriage. It's come into your parenting. You might be a new parent here this morning. And you're like, why is there so much pressure? I have to get up at 3 a.m. in the morning. I have to feed this. I have to do that. Friends, I am so thankful for an incredible wife, yeah? We took it in turns, but man, I'm telling you, 3 a.m. in the morning, if it wasn't the Holy Spirit, then it was the baby calling me, amen? But 3 a.m. in the morning, do them a couple of days, and man, it's pressure. But the delight of doing life in the Spirit is that the Holy Spirit isn't given to us so that life becomes impossible. The Holy Spirit is given to us so that life can become possible. That was impossible to man becomes possible with God. And I wonder this morning, friend, you might have walked in and you're carrying a pressure that you don't want to leave with. Friends, I've got good news for you this morning. The Holy Spirit is here. that there is a divine exchange that God is wanting to do in this place this morning, so that we're not people who live under the get to, but we're people who live under the have to, but we're people who live under the get to of His Word, of His Spirit, of His life. It would be amiss of me this morning if I didn't invite maybe those that have come this morning. And you might have found yourself in this 9 a.m. service and you don't even know who Jesus is. You don't even know who this Holy Spirit is. Or maybe you do. Maybe you did. And you've just allowed the pressure of life to come and replace the passion. That life has become an autopilot. I go to work, I come home. I do my thing, I go to church, I come home, I do my thing. Friends, life on autopilot crashes destinies. But when we allow the Holy Spirit to take center stage, everything changes. Friends, if I can be vulnerable with you this morning, I don't want Jesus to take the wheel. I want Him to take the whole flipping car. Amen? Am I speaking to somebody? I don't want Jesus just to take the wheel. He needs the car. I don't just want Him to take control. I want Him to take my life this morning. And so I'd love every eye closed and every head bowed right now. And I'm going to give an opportunity, maybe twofold this morning, if you've walked into this place. And friends, you've allowed life to be on autopilot. You had a passion for God at one time, and now it feels like everything's just on autopilot. You've allowed pressure to replace your passion. Friends, if that's you, right now, I just want you to put your hand up. I want to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Wow, God bless you. Come on. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. Wow, God bless you. Wow, so many this morning. Wow. God bless you. Father, we want to be Spirit-led, not Spirit-dead. I want to also pray as well for those this morning that you've allowed pressure to come into, maybe your marriage, maybe your parenting, maybe your work life. You've lost your passion. If that's you this morning, just put your hand up. I'd love to pray with you. God bless you. Wow, so many hands. It's a real thing, friends. And it's not something that I've put a full stop on in my life. I've realized that every day it's a battle, it's a fight. To come back to that get-to place, not that I have to. Why don't we put our hands on our hearts this morning? I'm going to pray for the sake of time. Let's pray in our seats this morning. Father, right now in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray for every heart, Lord, every hand that was raised. Lord, I pray this morning that you would bring us back to that place of commitment, that place of devotion to you, God, that you would bring us back to a place of knowing the passion, knowing the purpose. Lord, that we would just lay aside the pressure this morning. Father, I pray that the reality, the awareness, and the availability of your Holy Spirit would be so evident, Lord, in and through our lives right now. Father, where there's pressure, where there's a have to, Lord, I just release and declare the get to of God upon our hearts. Lord, I ask you to lift off. Lord, I ask you to bring your Holy Spirit that is without measure. And Lord, cause that which has been dormant, that which has been, laid aside, that which is has just been barely breathing, Lord, on life support. Lord, I just declare right now, passion and ignition in our hearts for your name, for your presence, for your Holy Spirit. I really sense there's someone here this morning, through pressure at work, and it's almost like a bullying situation of a colleague, but it's almost like a team dynamic that has caused you just to lose passion for your career. It's lost passion for your job. It's like you facing them. Friends, if that's you this morning, just put your hand up. I want to pray for you. Who's that this morning? Wow. Father, right now in Jesus' name, Lord, I just declare, Lord, a turnaround moment. Lord, in his job, in his career, Lord, I declare purpose and passion restored and renewed in his heart right now. Lord, that you would cause the circumstances and situations to change because of your goodness and your grace. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Why don't we all stand in this place this morning?
Thank you for listening to the Discovery Church podcast. It is our mission that every heart is found in Jesus' story. If you were moved by this episode, please take 30 seconds to share it on your social media. It only takes a couple of seconds to create life-changing impact.